The subject du jour that's getting beaten to death, of course, is the Mitch Marner situation. But I will say, in your case, Jeff, John Tavares was signed a year ago, July 1st, as we all know. And on that day, Kyle Dubas articulated, and he said that Tavares was keen about it as well, that there was a confidence and a seemingly meeting of the minds in the Matthews, Nylander, Marner camps that everyone could fit in and it would work out okay. On July 2nd, I think you already said, I think the Nylander and Marner camps are going to be Kyle Dubas' biggest challenges. Why did you say that, and how does it look 16 months later or 14 months later?
Well, I think as far as the Nylander camp was sort of positioning themselves, that was going to be a difficult one. And I don't want to say it's, because, his dad was difficult when he did negotiations in the NHL and looked for every penny under every single cushion. And we all know what happens, and thought they had a deal with the Edmonton Oilers and turned around and showed up with the Washington Capitals. But there was that very much in the background. And as far as the Mitch Marner camp goes, I mean, Marner, when you look at, going back to when he played in the GTHL, has always been, passed over or taken for granted on a lot of these teams, and has had a lot of hurdles placed in front of him, whether it's, oh, he's too small, he can't play, whether it's, oh, this won't translate at the next level. And he's been able to jump over all these hurdles. And because of it, I think the player has always had that chip on his shoulder, and that's not a bad thing for a player to have. And I think representation perhaps has always had that chip on their shoulder about compensation and what the player was worth. So I looked at those two and said those two are probably going to be the most difficult. And here we are with the Marner situation. And I think that Dubas was being honest and was being sincere when he felt that, these players wanted to be in Toronto and there's room for all of them. You're negotiating over price point. I don't think that he thought that the Matthews, Nylander, or Marner deals were going to be easy. None of them were going to fall into his lap. The Nylander one was quite frustrating, and I don't think that they want to go down a similar road with the Marner camp. But I think that Dubas was expecting this one to be difficult, and it has been so far. I mean, having said that, right now there's no pressure point, right? I mean, Kyle Dubas is on vacation. Of course, he can still do business, but there's no pressure point right now for either side to get this done, as frustrating as that may be for hockey fans, certainly Leafs fans. I know other hockey fans whose teams have significant Group 2s want to see those deals done. So they can, start to play fantasy GM and construct their team. But, there was the Columbus Blue Jackets this year that were very much interested in an offer sheet for Mitch Marner camp. The Marner camp does not want term, and the Columbus side, I think, pretty much walked away from it. And this is Elliot Friedman's reporting, walked away from it saying, there's a belief that this player does not want to leave Toronto. And I still firmly believe that. How they get there from today until training camp, until, opening night against the Ottawa Senators, is going to be an interesting piece of stick handling. But I will say one thing. I think, and this was true of the Nylander situation, I think you have to give credit both to the team and the representation, because there haven't been a lot of leaks. Like, there hasn't been. We don't know what the Maple Leafs offer has been. We don't know what the ask from the Marner camp has been. So far, both sides have been really sealed up about this one.
I think the Leafs have I think the leaks have dried up after the dam burst. I would say at the beginning of the summer, but you're right. Since then, it's been quiet. What aren't we talking about? We talk about Marner, it seems like, every day, because it's obviously the biggest story for the biggest hockey team in the city. What aren't we talking about around the NHL that is, as one Jeff Merrick would say, putting the spice in your chili?
Oh, I think the Winnipeg situation is fascinating. I think Winnipeg with Patrick Laine right now is fascinating. And we all saw the interview that he did with Chris Johnstone last week in Europe, where he was not about to say that I'm committed to playing with the Winnipeg Jets. As a matter of fact, he pretty much went out of his way to say the opposite and throw a whole bunch of doubts on the future of Patrick Laine with the Winnipeg Jets. And it's not exactly a secret around the NHL that the leadership group of the Winnipeg Jets rides that team really hard and drives that team really hard. And if you don't keep up, that leadership group doesn't have a whole lot of time for you. Does that mean that Patrick Laine has fallen out of favor, like some have suggested? I'm not in Winnipeg to know that, but there is that feeling around the NHL. And what does that mean for Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager? What does that mean for Mike Liut, the agent? And what does that mean for final compensation here now for Patrick Laine, if indeed he is going to remain a member of the Winnipeg Jets? As far as all of the, you know, all the RFAs out there, and Boston's going through their own thing right now with McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, whether it's Matthew Tkachuk with the Calgary Flames, Brock Besser with the Vancouver Canucks, go right down the list. Braden Point, you guys talked about this a couple of moments ago with the Tampa Bay Lightning. To me, the situation in Winnipeg is a fascinating one, because this is still an elite-level team and a team that you can still say, you know, should be in the conversation for Stanley Cup contender, and they're one of their premier players seems to be positioning himself more on the outside than the inside of this organization. To me, that's fascinating this close to training camp.
Yeah, no question. The City of Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce did not embrace Patrick Laine's comments in their literature about coming there. But the other we talked ad nauseum, and it's kind of cooled, was about offer sheets and seeming that there would be a proliferation of many offer sheets. The one that came, you could argue, a good relationship with an agent and a Montreal general manager probably helped the contract get done for Sebastian Aho in Carolina. That's what it seemed to be. So offer sheets don't stop. Some people seem to think it does. Like, they carry on as long as the player is an RFA. Some people seem to, there's a thought that when the season starts, some teams may be more, maybe harder against the cap, and it may be a better time to put an offer sheet through that you think you have a chance of working. Do you think that happens? I mean, it's been pretty barren despite the talk. There might be a lot of them.
That's an interesting thought, too, and that feeling has always been out there. Why offer sheet a player in July? You know, why offer sheet a player in July when, you know, teams can match and then they can do the stick handling to redo their salary structure? If you want to do an offer sheet, whether it's a predatory one, you just want to hurt the other team, or you're really trying to get the player, you know, why not do it right before the season begins and really hamstring a team and really put them in a situation? Of course, the flip side to that is, well, if the team matches, then you're still out the player, and then you need to do something because you didn't get the player. You want to know basically what your team looks like going into training camp. But there has been that vibe, and no one's really, you know, done it the way maybe some team could do it this year. But there is very much that thought that if you're going to do the offer sheet, you know, don't do this thing in July. Do this thing as October starts to approach if you really want to put an NHL team's feet to the fire.
So, wow, that sounds really exciting. You know, offer sheets, it's the biggest monkey wrench there is when it comes to this whole off-season thing. They can do it right before the season begins when I'm getting excited, and it could really screw another team, and it could create this contender out of nowhere. That sounds amazing. Why hasn't anyone done it? Like, I just want to know when this eventually and inevitably does not happen. What are you going to wear to the funeral for offer sheets?
Well, you know, that is an interesting question and an interesting comment. We all know the NHL has traditionally been a very conservative place to do business, and that is very much changing. There always has been that old school and, you know, old boys, you know, philosophy of let's not, you know, offer sheets don't work, so let's not even bother with them. Let's not perhaps, you know, do something to harm a team because I may need employment one day and I don't want to close any doors. That vibe has certainly been out there. I've always wondered why the offer sheet wasn't used closer to the season, and I don't think I'm in a minority there, Steve. But I think as you start to see a changing of the guard with front offices, and it's happening quickly. Now, I know that, you know, Bill Guerin, ex-NHLer, just got hired by the Minnesota Wild, but you look at how many quote-unquote non-traditional, you know, NHL hires there have been in significant places. And you look at, you know, Alex Mandrycki in Seattle and the amount of currency she has in that front office right now with Ron Francis, it is huge. And she does not come from a traditional NHL background. She did not shoot frozen cow patties off the side of a barn in Moose Jaw and play junior for 4 years to get drafted in the fourth round and work her way up to the NHL. I assure you that is not the background of Mandrake. But there are a lot more people like her, whether it's Tyler Dello in New Jersey, whether it's Eric Tolsky with the Carolina Hurricanes. There are a lot of non-traditional thinkers populating front offices more so than ever. And that turnover is happening quickly. And as usually happens, the NHL is last to the dance because this has happened significantly in other sports. And I think because of it, I think you'll see the way that front offices treat offer sheets will be more different than they have been in the past.